Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
I guess I thought you'd be here forever.
Another illusion. 17th of the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, the one for my book, The Third Ingredient, with the number three, thethirdingredient.com. We're having a great visit with our good friend, Dr. Marilyn Singleton, board-certified anesthesiologist, a member of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons. She, in addition to being a very smart medical professional, folks, she's also, and by the way, she spent 2 years as a resident at Harvard's Beth Israel Hospital. She also attended UC Berkeley's Law School. And so that shows you she's a pretty smart lady, and she's a very important commentator on America these days. Marilyn, I want to talk about racism. It's a dicey subject. I don't enter into it lightly, and I'm prepared for the blowback. But I have to say that I think calling someone racist is the act of a desperate person. If you call somebody racist, if you say something's racist, if you call America systemically racist, that tells me that you can't make an argument, you can't sell your ideology, you can't sell your ideas, you can't sell your platform. When you have to say things like that, when you throw down that kind of a pejorative, all you're doing is, in my opinion, is demonstrating your desperation. I read an article recently, and the person, I wish I could remember the person's name, but he said racism is an ism. He said if you are a racist, that's an act, that's something that you think, you believe you're a racist. But racism is an ideology, and so when you call somebody a racist, if for no reason other than that you didn't like what they said, and it wasn't even a racist thing to say, if you make up a path to racism, then that's a weak argument. Why can't we talk about solving problems without calling people names?
Well, the sad part is, and this begins all the way back in school, boy, we could go on about this for days, that when children are not taught to think critically, they're not taught to look at others as individuals, not mm-hmm. as members of groups, and this
or
is
somebody
what I
you, or
see
somebody
happening.
You should immediately devalue, somebody you should immediately not trust.
Well, and that's the problem of grouping people together, because if you said something rude to me, I would say, "Jim, you're a rude, jerky creep," not "Jim, you're a racist, sexist."
Right.
Now it's just the opposite, that you're just a creep. You're just mm-hmm. a rude person, mm-hmm. and you could be any color. And people have almost forgotten that, because going to racism immediately dismisses that person as any kind of human being that has any value, has no right to take up any oxygen on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a foul way to think of our fellow human beings.
I agree. Well, so aren't we seeing the more they try to prove racism, systemic racism, the methods that they propose as part of their platform, whether it be Black Lives Matter or whoever, or any individual, and because I've had systemic racism comments, conversations with individuals, white people, not just black people, white people. But when they take their argument to action, don't they always turn out to be racist things? They themselves are being racist. What do you think?
Absolutely. But you know what scares me, Jim, in thinking about employment and work and whatnot, we have come so far in having black people just get any kind of a job that a white person can get as long as you're qualified and advance in your career, etc. And it's somebody has decided that all white people are evil, and you're one of those evil white people, you're going to think twice before hiring a black person.
Yes.
Even though you never thought about that before in your life. And the same goes with women, and I cringe because I grew up in the era of women's lib and, mm-hmm. and seeing things really improve. When I went to medical school, I had a class of 132 people. How many women did we have? Nine.
Wow.
And now
How many black women?
I think three or four.
Yeah.
And
yep.
an American Indian girl. And, you know, so it was... Things were moving ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And so look how far things have gone.
Mm-hmm.
That half of schools, half of law schools are women, half of medical school, over half of medical schools
right.
are women. And some of these folks don't even know from whence they came.
Right.
And so nobody was thinking twice about it.
Because they don't know history. You pointed that out earlier. They don't know history.
They don't know history.
Mm-hmm.
And this erasing of history, we are going to be so sorry, and it's not a hyperbole to say this is what they do whenever there's a revolution. What's the first thing you do? You go to the library and burn books.
Mm-hmm.
You make sure
yep.
that people don't know
Fahrenheit
the true
451.
History. That's right.
Yeah, Ray Bradbury's
book. And people don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know. Everyone needs to go out and rent that movie.
Yeah.
Everybody needs to go out and rent the movie Red
exactly.
Dawn and
exactly.
find out, you know, what they do to useful idiots.
That's right. So I need your website quickly, Marilyn. Your website, Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn Singleton, MDJD.com.
All right, so check it out. Quick break, 10 till. Right back with Dr. Marilyn Singleton.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.